Texas, America, and the world. You're listening to the Dankoff Report with Mark Dankoff on this Friday, March 16th, 2024 at 1 p.m. Central Time with special guest Patrick Slattery. I have decided to cover a single topic today because of its importance, I believe, to the ultimate view and the ultimate landscaping of what is going on in the United States right now and even here in the state of Texas. We're going to be talking about Texas Monthly. This is a publication with millions and millions of dollars behind it, sold at Barnes & Noble and other mainstream newsstands. It's real glitzy. It has all kinds of articles in it on wine, all kinds of articles in it on the latest hotels, all kinds of articles in it on the best rest homes for the elderly, all the best articles on who the real movers and shakers are in the state of Texas, and so forth and so on. However, this month, Texas Monthly is engaged in what I deem to be an absolute broadside of Father John Whiteford of Spring, Texas. He is a Rokor, or Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia, priest. He is bona fide. He is a very careful and kind gentleman. He is academically legitimate. He is neither shrill nor paranoid, nor in any way connected, if one truly understands him, with the way that he was depicted in this Texas Monthly broadside. And so your roadmap is going to reflect that in terms of a couple of things on Texas Monthly that I have posted. And one of the things that I'm trying to get a hold of, and there's one place that has it, but I'll have to pay to get it, and that is a list of the contributors to Texas Monthly, which might give us an even broader perspective on what is behind this absolute hit piece, in my judgment. I have written Texas Monthly. I've told them that they can publish it. I'm sure they won't. But this is what I said to them today. Quote, "Your April hit piece on Father John Whiteford could have easily been team written by Hillary Clinton, Victoria Nuland, Admiral Rachel Levine, Jens Stoltenberg, and Emmanuel Macron. The promotion of Russophobia, division within world orthodoxy, the militant LGBTQ agenda, globalism's war with Putin's Russia, and the anti-Southern line of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith and the Southern Poverty Law Center all point to the usual agenda and the usual suspects. I'll be sure to buy the newsstand copy of your April edition at Barnes & Noble," I told them, "in case another engineered COVID-19 shutdown before the 2024 American elections causes panic buying on toilet paper," unquote. That's my own response to what was said about Father John Whiteford in what is truly a hit piece with all kinds of distortions in it that is very disturbing, obviously, in terms of who he really is, the type of person that he is. This is absolutely a bigoted attack on the Russian Orthodox Church and upon anyone who does not go along with the global homo agenda, both for world orthodoxy and for the world in general, as well as for all of us who live in Texas or live in other parts of the United States who are listening to this broadcast. So I have listed Father John's blog spot on your roadmap, which gets into what Texas Monthly did to him. And I have also listed the Texas Monthly link itself so that listeners will be able to get into this and evaluate for themselves just what kind of a publication this really is. Oh, it looks so, so innocent. They have the glitziest presentations in the mainstream magazine stand over at Barnes & Noble here in San Antonio. Great photography, all kinds of wonderful soft journalism articles and all kinds of topics. But when it comes to something like this, this is where we see the iron fist of global homo and the new world order and the American multinational corporate state coming forth to punch a very fine person. Not right between the eyes, but very quickly between the shoulder blades, as they obviously got Father Whiteford to agree to something where he trusted them to be fair. And he made a real mistake in that regard. I've already told him that in a note that I wrote to him. But then I'll also discuss very briefly before we bring Dr. Slattery on how I made the same mistake with Katie Zavodsky, or whatever her name is, that Jewish lady with the pig ring through her nose. That's really who she is. You can see pictures of her online. And she set me up with a Daily Beast a number of years ago, and I assumed that they would be at least fair to me. I made the same mistake then that Father Whiteford made in this situation. And sadly enough, of course, you can very definitely argue that Father John Whiteford is a far more decent and pietistic and turn the other cheek kind of guy than I am. So if they would ambush him, who else might they ambush in the future? Father Whiteford says this about what Texas Monthly did to him. I want you to listen to this. I'm quoting this portion of the article. Sometime last year, Father Whiteford tells me, Megan Clark Saliashvili, that last name sounds very interesting, Saliashvili contacted me about whether I would agree to be interviewed for an article she was writing for Texas Monthly on the growth of Orthodoxy in Texas. Megan is an independent reporter. Yeah, sure she is. Who is a convert to Orthodoxy, married to a Georgian man. I wonder if she knows Saakashvili. Anyway, married to a Georgian man and a graduate of Harvard Divinity School. I was not unaware, says Father Whiteford, of the liberal bent to her past reporting, but I had hoped, since she was a recent convert, that she would be honest and sincere, even though I had reasons to doubt she would be. However, I figured if she was going to write a hit piece, it probably wouldn't matter whether I spoke to her or not, and speaking to her might help. There's mistake number one by Father Whiteford. I've done it to myself, folks. So this is not like I don't know what he's talking about here. I experienced it well before he. He goes on. As it turns out, the article was not about the growth of Orthodoxy in Texas at all, but was, in fact, an extremely biased attempt to paint me, my parish here in Spring, Texas, my Russian Orthodox parish here in Spring, Texas, and other Orthodox Christians as racists, conspiracy theorists, and authoritarians. However, the fact that I did talk to her and allowed her to visit my parish resulted in her putting in many details that contradicted much of what she was trying to accomplish. I am not sure if these things were included in the original version of the story or not, but I was contacted by a fact checker from Texas Monthly, probably Admiral Levine. I was contacted by a fact checker from Texas Monthly, a first from any news outlet I have ever interacted with, he says, Father Whiteford says, and pointed out to him a number of relevant facts that did in fact appear in the article as published. On the other hand, I did not anticipate how this would negatively impact some parish people in the parish, and that is my biggest regret about agreeing to this. And then I indicate for our listeners on our roadmap today that I made the same mistake with the Daily Beast some years ago. I published that piece from my own website. There's also another website that picked up on it, probably many that picked up on it at the time, and also several other things. The Veterans Today story that Jonah C. Alexis did with me right after this hit piece by the Daily Beast, and Jonah C. Alexis titled this for Veterans Today as the closing of the Zionist mind. And then last but not least, for those of you who didn't catch it at the time, Father Whiteford was on this show on December the 2nd, 2022. And in this particular case, you can revisit that very fine broadcast and evaluate for yourself the type of person that we had on this show then, the type of person I hope to get back on this show in the future. Dr. Slattery, are you there? Come up in volume, Patrick.
Hey, can you hear me?
Barely. You sound like you're hiding in a restroom facility at a truck stop.
Let me reconnect.
Okay. Dr. Slattery is going to reconnect. He's actually being held hostage at gunpoint by all kinds of people that don't like his show or mine. Hey, there you go. Are you there?
But okay, what I was saying was, for those of you who listened to my show that immediately preceded this show, and in which I referred to RBN as the fresh dog vomit of free speech, I can explain everything. No, I can't. Actually, I can't. But thank you for having me.
Well, what in terms of what I have just broadcast on the air, and keeping in mind this Texas Monthly, oh, you might call it the Time Magazine of the state of Texas, maybe the Newsweek Time Magazine of the state of Texas. I think that's fair. What do you see as the possible or probable motives of this, and also what kinds of implications does this piece contain that should cause us to evaluate the broader meaning of all of this? What's your sense of it anyway?
Well, there's an all-out attack on anybody who might threaten the taboo on speaking about Jewish power. And, you know, we're just seeing this everywhere. We're seeing it with all sorts of hate crime, hate speech, not hate crime, but hate speech laws. The situation for Jewish power right now is exceedingly fragile. There is record noticing going on, and it's in large part because of what's going on in Gaza, which is attracting people's attention.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so I think what we can expect is for more and more, ever more extreme and unprecedented attempts to shut down free speech. I think that's what we can expect.
Yes, I think so too. And you know what's interesting, as I see it in exactly the same way that you do in regard to the time frame in which Texas Monthly chose to strike out at Father Whiteford. That's my characterization of what, in fact, they did. I discovered something on the internet that pertains to me. It was just published on the February the 26th of this year. Keep in mind, folks, that this is well after the failure of Zelensky's counteroffensive in the Donbass and in the Zaporizhia region, where he got stomped, obviously. It is subsequent to the October 7th beginning of this crisis in Gaza. But this is entitled The Encyclopedia of American Loons, and I am entry number 2740, which may have some validity, but for different reasons from what the publisher of this piece might say. But interestingly enough, if you get into this particular encyclopedia, as it's called, it's a very recent publication. And fascinatingly enough, it virtually repristinates all kinds of libelous information and distorted information that were put out some years ago by an anonymous site called J Hate. They had libeled me. They had libeled my good friend Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton, whose beloved wife of 55 years, by the way, passed away in Shiraz, Iran, Badri Foote, just a couple of days ago. Thought I'd mention that in the air. Dr. Foote has been a Ron Paul Republican, very fine mainstream activist in regard to his broadcasting and his writing and his appearance in international media. But as you read through this hit piece on me, which really makes me laugh, because it's not only dated, but it's dated at a time where it really could have been reproduced by Jay Hate. It looks like Jay Hate's material from a number of years ago. Well, as I pointed out to V. Contacta listeners, if you really get into the history of Jay Hate when it was being published anonymously through several of my sources in San Antonio, we were able to get to the bottom of this. We discovered that the individual publishing on this Jay Hate website was someone named Rabbi Aryeh Tuchman. At the time, he was the head of the Civil Rights Division of the New York City headquarters of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. And when I caught up with him on this, I wrote him at his anonymously published Jay Hate site, and all he would say was he did not want me to find out who he was. That's rather interesting. When I found out who he was and wrote him at his office, I have all these emails, folks, by the way. I saved all of these. I said, hey, what gives you this, Rabbi? You know, if you're disturbed about my appearances on press television, Iran, if you think that your positions or the positions of the Zionist lobby in the United States or the Israeli government are being totally misrepresented, I can guarantee that press television Iran would be more than fair to you, which I think they would be, more than fair to you in coming on with me and maybe with Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote of Cal State Fullerton and at least talking through this on the air. It will be civil. It will be fair. You'll have an opportunity to say whatever you want. We, of course, will respond in our view responsibly. And let's just, there's no need for us to play around with this and attack one another on anonymous websites. I said, personally, I always sign my name to what I publish. Certainly, when I broadcast something, it comes out under my real name. Why the subterfuge here? Well, of course, he never responded to the invitation. Although later it came out that Jay Hates started publishing this trash, republishing this trash under his name, once he had been caught as the ultimate conspirator and perhaps the only architect of this Jay Hate website, which may have had other hands from the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith in New York involved in it. Now, all of a sudden, there's this Encyclopedia of American Loons. I'm entry number 2740. Comes out on February 26, 2024. And what I find interesting about this, and I would say the same thing to Father John Whiteford of the Russian Orthodox Church in Spring, Texas, good American, by the way. And I'd say to people like you, Patrick, and Michael Collins Piper, no longer with us, and all these other folks, Mark Weber, and so forth and so on, who've been at the truth game for a long time, that when you see this sort of thing, we should be encouraged, because I don't think the opposition would be back to doing this sort of thing, especially what was just done to Father John Whiteford, if he, and second, far more secondarily, I, and you and Duke and the late Michael Collins Piper, Mark Weber at the Institute for Historical Review, all these other people, I think the opposition's panicking, or at least that's my reading of it, that these guys, it's like Macron is advising these people on how to attack us. And make the world go away. And the ADL. But we will be back with Patrick Slattery. A Danhoff Report. San Antonio, Texas. Stay tuned.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for a private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
That old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Up on a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a-plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw. Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-oh, the ghost herd in the sky. Their brands were still on fire, and
we're back listening to the Dan Koff Report live on RBN. Our special guest is Dr. Patrick Slattery. We've chosen to focus on the April edition of Texas Monthly and the absolute broadside that they did on Father John Whiteford, this Russian Orthodox priest, solid American based over in Spring, Texas. And of course, I've already read to you what I wrote to Texas Monthly. I know it won't be published, but nonetheless, those of you who see it on the roadmap might spread it around to all of your friends and contacts so we can get the word out there that that this is the kind of thing that is beginning to happen with far more frequency to people like Father Whiteford, who is genuinely one of the most decent people you'll ever meet. Like his views or not, the fact of the matter is, he is a very benevolent character. Anyone who knows him would say that about him. The nature of this hit piece that was done, it was clearly a setup. It's clearly despicable. And as I said to Texas Monthly in my note to them, electronic note to them, this hit piece could have been team written by Victoria Nuland and Hillary Clinton and Jen Stoltenberg and Admiral Rachel Levine. And the folks at the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center. So that all, in my view, I said to them, points to the usual suspects. Patrick, back briefly to this anonymous a piece from the so-called Encyclopedia of American Loons, where I'm entry, 2470? I don't know, but at any rate, what do you think these guys are worried about since Zelensky's counteroffensive went down the toilet, and especially the events since the 7th of October in Gaza? Is the Zio establishment of the United States beginning to worry that they're losing the public relations war? Is that what's going on here?
Well, the public relations aspect is extremely important. But of course, also the reality aspect is important. I mean, public relations, much of public relations is about getting people to ignore reality and assume something different. Things are going very well, very poorly for them, not just in the public relations, but that's certainly going poorly, but in the reality as well. So if we're talking about the Ukraine, public relations wise, it's going very poorly. And you're having people like you mentioned, French President Macron, who is busily trying to get some sort of military personnel, French and Eastern European military personnel to Ukraine to, if not directly confront the Russians, at least to relieve Ukrainian troops that are doing other things other than trying to kill Russians so they can be freed up to try to kill Russians. But of course, the killing Russian business isn't really going very well. And they're finding they're probably sacrificing somewhere on the at least five. It's at least a 5-to-1 ratio, maybe a 10-to-1 ratio in terms of Ukrainian deaths to Russian deaths. So that's not going well. Neither the public relations, because Macron is doing very poorly. I mean, you're getting to the point where now Macron is having to explain that his wife, 25 years older than him, is actually a woman. He's actually married to an old lady and not married to an old man. I mean, this is crazy if you want to get into that.
Well, I guess his foreign minister and his foreign minister's partner changed $9 bills into threes, so I guess he'll have to settle for that.
Yeah, I mean, and he just appointed a new prime minister who is 30, like a 36-year-old Jew who's gay, and the gay prime minister, I don't know if it's his ex-gay married husband or his ex-boyfriend or whatever, but
I really don't want to know. That's Eddie Arnold. But anyway, go ahead.
Appointed his gay lover as foreign minister. So
yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing you could imagine. And just a brief aside on Macron, the people who started this rumor a couple of years ago about Brigitte Macron being a dude, they're not reputable people. And one is like a astrologer or something like that, or a fortune teller. They're not reputable people, but it's caught on in part because, statistically, a young man is more likely to be involved in a relationship with a 25-year-old, a man 25 years his senior than a woman 25 years his senior, because gays are like that. And
Eddie Arnold is, this is our short break, folks. Eddie Arnold is mercifully in this conversation for a moment.
Anytime.
With July, you're a woman, then we'll let Dr. Slattery pull all of this sort of stuff together when the Dan Koff Report returns from San Antonio.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet, I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Make the world go away and get off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say and make the world go away. Do you remember when you loved me before the world?
We are back on the Dan Koff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network, 1:33 Central Time with Dr. Patrick Slattery here. We have been talking about the Texas Monthly hit piece on Father John Whiteford of the Russian Orthodox Church here in Spring, Texas, a past guest on this show, by the way. And the link to that show from December 2nd, I believe, of 2022, is available for on today's roadmap. And by the way, before we get back to where Patrick is taking us, you've got to look at this, folks. I put it on your roadmap. Do you know Jesus Malverde? Well, for $2.99 at my local gas station here in my neighborhood at Northeastern Windcrest, you can buy Jesus Malverde air freshener, a grape air freshener, for $2.99. And I have posted Jesus's picture on your roadmap along with an explanation from from Wikipedia as to who he was. He was literally, his name means bad green Jesus, born Jesus Juarez Matzo Campos, 15 January 1870 to the 3rd of May 1909. Commonly referred to as the generous bandit, the angel of the poor, or the narco saint, and as a folklore hero in the Mexican state of Sinaloa. And he is venerated in Sinaloa and also in what is called folk Catholicism. I sent this along to E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars, who probably turned off his computer when he received it, but nonetheless. There's a major shrine to this guy in Culiacan, Mexico. And then even Wikipedia has a great patronage listing on this guy. Mexican drug cartels, drug trafficking, outlaws, bandits, robbers, thieves, smugglers, and people in poverty. The emphasis on the last one, I assume. But he is a Robin Hood figure, according to Wikipedia, who's supposed to have stolen from the rich to give to the poor. He is celebrated as a folk saint by some in Mexico and the United States, particularly among drug traffickers. So if you want to get a Jesus Malverde grape air freshener for your car for $2.99, I know where to send you. Maybe they've already sold out of these. But at any rate, I made the attempt. Patrick, back to what we were talking about here. Dealing with Macron and Texas Monthly and all of these other things. Let's step back from this just for a second. We know that Macron is particularly embattled. before we tie that into what happened to Father Whiteford here in this month's Texas Monthly, let's go back to Macron just for a second. Do you think there is any method in this guy's madness, or is he simply a crackpot?
You know, it's difficult. I don't know if I have a complete read on him. He's in his second 5-year term, cannot run for re-election without changing the Constitution. I'm pretty sure that's the case. I don't know. He is falling apart, and you do have so. And his re-election was only 2 years ago, so I think he's got 3 years left in his term. But I mean, this is just a lot of weirdness. The foreign policy is weirdness. You know, originally when 2 years ago he was trying to offer himself as some sort of mediator, but Putin really didn't want to have much to do with him. And now he is the chief belligerent, because he's trying to take on the role of chief belligerent as the Brandon administration tries to back away from Ukraine and maybe point the finger at the Republicans, saying, oh, well, you know, Zelensky was on the verge of whipping Putin's butt. But then Donald Trump had to tell the House Republicans to vote down the aid. And, oh, well, it's not my fault. You can't blame me. That seems to be the mode they're going in. And so Ukraine is not going to be getting, doesn't look like it's going to be getting this money. And even if it did get the money isn't going to defeat Putin. All the money's going to do is maybe keep things going a little bit longer. But that's it. I mean, and of course you have, like I've been saying, and I think you've been saying all along, the longer this goes on, the worse the settlement for Ukraine is going to be. And former Russian president and all-around bad cop Dmitry Medvedev recently said, yeah, well, you know, Zelensky's got his peace proposal, which is asking Russia to surrender, which is ridiculous. He's got Medvedev has his own peace proposal, and that is reabsorbing all of Ukraine into Russia. It's just not going well. It's not going well in Israel as either. It's just such bad optics. You're having a lot of Israelis don't want to go into the military, so you're having trouble with that. Although I think some of the ultra Orthodox who never went in before are starting to want to go in now. But it's not looking good. The Netanyahu government could collapse at any time. We might start seeing massive demonstrations against Netanyahu soon. I think people rallied
and plenty of credible talk in the news sources I consult, which are not mainstream sources, but nonetheless, there's credible evidence that at least the Zeluzhny wing of the Ukrainian military is having thoughts of putting Zelensky out of business. I mean, that's just where we seem to be on this.
And the only thing that is puzzling to me is why it's taken so long. I mean, I think overall, I've done a pretty good job of predicting events, except that the one thing that does surprise me is how long the Ukrainian public, the Ukrainian military has allowed this meat grinder operation to go on.
Yeah, exactly. And I look at this, and of course, this is the way my mind works, just in terms of the major battles. I've been following this war through the Duran and military summary and Brian Berletic and Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis and Colonel Douglas McGregor and all these different fine people. Larry Johnson, of course, the ex-CIA analyst, has his site and puts out a lot of good stuff. And when I think of what happened at Mariupol in terms of the so-called Azovstal factory holdout there, and then you start looking at this whole issue of Bakhmut and what has now happened, to this latest debacle, which has resulted in a major setback for, if you even want to call it a setback, it's a catastrophe at Avdiivka or Avdiivka for the Ukrainians. Not to mention all of the other evidence that the entire, say, 1,900, 2,000-meter long line of engagement is cracking everywhere for Zelensky and company. You look at this, and it's like with the clear success of the Russians, they're the largest country geographically in the world. They are arguably the most blessed in terms of natural resources. They have an industrial production capacity, especially for military purposes, that far exceeds the United States and the West, Western countries now. Of course, they have an alliance with China that could easily come into play in this thing if the Biden administration and the global homo people fumble it too badly, not to mention the incredible advancements of Iran as a military power in alliance with Russia and China that could become a factor very quickly if this Gazan thing goes on much longer and all of a sudden the Iranians and Hezbollah would jump in against Netanyahu. I mean, when you start looking at this, and the clear strategy of the Russians with what Mercurius calls this strategy of aggressive attrition, it's straight out of Karl von Clausewitz, the great Russian general. I have a picture of him in my home altar at home. No, I don't, folks. It's a bad joke. But nonetheless, Karl von Clausewitz, the old Prussian general, with his strategy of attrition and the way in which to wear down an opponent to the point where he can't stand any longer. He's on the canvas. Then you start worrying about whatever geographic territories you want to pick up. With all of this happening, and even someone like me playing cardboard military strategist, relying on good people's analysis to inform me so that I can talk to our listeners, do the people of Ukraine, I mean, the ones that have not already managed to get out of the country, what kind of, I don't see how they have failed to have engaged in a wider revolt against this Zelensky cabal, presumably in league with the very considerable Zeluzhny wing of the Ukrainian military that feels that Zelensky stiffed them and brought in this presumed boob named Sirsky. Is there at some point of the Ukrainian people still there just going to throw up their hands? I mean, how much longer can this go on?
Yes, I mean, it can't go on forever, obviously, because the military situation is slowly but surely collapsing, and I think at a quickening rate. There may be a few factors involved which explain why this has gone on longer than we might have expected, certainly longer than I expected. And one might be the repression of information. And so you might have it so that people, especially in the western part of Ukraine, which isn't affected by war, not directly, that they might not understand quite how severe the situation is. That might be part of it. Another psychological aspect of it, because, you know, if you figure if there's been hundreds of thousands of military deaths, that at this point, pretty much everybody would know somebody. Many people would have relatives who have died.
Exactly.
There can be the phenomenon of, I don't want my loved one's death to be in vain. You know, he's gone. I can't bring him back, but I don't want it to be in vain. So I want the others to keep fighting. There may be some of that going on, you know, a combination of a few things. And then within Ukraine, you know, who's doing the fighting, who's in a position to, change things. You know, if it's just country bumpkins who are being fed into the meat grinder, especially if they're spread out, and if it's not the the relative, like the middle class and the relative elites in Kiev or Lviv, who are bearing the brunt of it. But they're the people who, especially the people in Kiev. I mean, it's the people in Kiev who have been the foot soldiers in the two coup d'états this century, right? The two Jewish American sponsored, State Department sponsored coup d'états this century.
Yes,
those people may not be may not be nearly as affected as the peasantry that is very spread out and has difficulty organizing. Those are just some ideas off the top of my head.
Okay, all of which are excellent ideas. And as we look at this whole situation now, let's think of the cabal, especially in the United States, the role of the cabal in what has happened to this country on so many fronts, demographically, domestic infrastructure, the economy, these foreign adventures, all of which have turned out disastrously since 2001, the incredible problem in the United States now, spiritually and morally. We won't go into that in any great detail here, but with the way in which the current administration of the United States and the American media are panicking on all of this stuff at the same time that Macron is clearly panicking. What are we to make of this thing with Texas Monthly and Father John Whiteford? And where I'm coming from on this, and I don't have the answer, but do the people who truly, the political elites in the United States who control major news publications, and yes, folks, if you read about Texas Monthly, this is clearly a heavyweight publication and financial backing and heavyweights involved with it on its board and so forth. It's amazing what influence the thing has here in the state of Texas. Does it take a simple phone call from the right person in the right place in Washington to somebody in Texas to call up Texas Monthly and say, hey, you know, this Father John Whiteford is having too much of an impact on average Texans in regard to things that he's writing and talking about, his radio appearances and so forth. We've got a deep six of this guy and do a hit piece on him. Is that what's going on here, or is it a more coincidental type of affair coming on the heels of October the 7th and coming on the heels, of course, of the disastrous counteroffensive for Zelensky in Ukraine that is certainly consigned them certainly to inevitable defeat at the hands of Putin's Russia. How do you see this? I mean, are the a publication like Texas Monthly, are they a phone call away from doing? I know we're guessing at this. I don't know, but this thing on Whiteford, Father Whiteford, does not seem coincidental to me in any way, shape, or form, and yet it almost seems too conspiratorial to suggest that in the wake of the counteroffensive failure with Zelensky and then the Gazan crisis that it would necessarily result in the top 10 anti-Ziocons in Texas all being targeted for future hit pieces. I mean, I'm kind of grasping at straws to figure out what's going on here. What's your guess?
So there are two scenarios. I'm sure there's more than two, but there are two that come to mind that involve very different principles. So the one is the one that you're alluding to, that this Russian Orthodox priest had come to somebody's attention higher up, and this person higher up in Washington or wherever, or you know, maybe he came to Hagee, you know, John Hagee's attention, and so from the top, somebody notified Texas, the Texas Monthly, is that the name of the publication?
Yes, Texas Monthly,
and suggested this. That's a plausible scenario. But another plausible scenario is, you know, you have in some level, well, journalists are kind of entrepreneurs. Most people, most aspiring journalists who work at the Texas Monthly aren't necessarily thinking of spending their entire career there. You might have somebody who wants to become the editor-in-chief of Texas Monthly because they don't want to move away from their current home. But we don't really know who did this article, right? Who was the author?
The author is someone with she is a recent convert to Orthodoxy, according to Father Whiteford. And in this particular case, this lady's name is Megan Clark Saliashvili. Okay. Hey, that sounds familiar. Saliashvili, not to be confused with several other people that we know that have V-I-L-I at the end of their last name. And she is supposedly, she's an independent reporter. And Father Whiteford's understanding, who is a convert to Orthodoxy. She's married to a Georgian man.
Right,
and,
okay.
And a graduate of Harvard Divinity School. That's her profile.
That's a very common ending for Georgian names, right? So it's very, very common. So if she's especially an independent journalist, so she's a freelancer or a stringer. I was a stringer, actually, for the Texas, the Dallas Morning Star, although they never published anything.
The Dallas Morning Star?
Is that what it was called? What's it called?
The Dallas Morning News.
The Dallas Morning News. Okay.
Yeah, I think the Dallas Morning Star was a defunct porno publication.
No. Oh, come on. That's defunct hockey
team. The Dallas Morning News, yes.
If you are that like an aspiring journalist, an independent journalist, you want to get a scoop, or you want to have a published article that is going to endear you to CNN or the New York Times. So it also plausibly could be a kind of entrepreneurial, like journalistic entrepreneurialism, where somebody is trying to get a notch on their gun. Is that what you do? So that,
in other words, if you do a good enough job in this hit piece on Whiteford for Texas Monthly, or so the theory goes anyway, you might get kicked upstairs to the New York Times or something. Is that at least a possibility?
That is going to look good on your resume to the New York Times or CNN, or is the Huffington Post still a thing? I mean, there are people who work for these publications who do nothing but like hit pieces on white supremacists. You know, that's their gig.
Yes.
It's a beat now.
I have found Megan Clark Saliashvili's own website, by the way. Unlike Katie Zavodsky at the Daily Beast, Megan is a nice-looking, attractive, pretty conservative-looking woman, which is at least good. But I might choose to send her my letter to the Texas Monthly if I'm really in a bad mood when the show ends. But nonetheless, I will put Megan's site on our roadmap so people can peruse it. Now, her work has been published in the Washington Post, Religion News Service, Lefties, Christianity Today, good mainstream evangelical softball publication now, Dallas Morning News, Sojourners. That Sojourners goes back to Jim Wallace of Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, who was involved in the left-wing activist movement within Protestant evangelicalism before it became fashionable. Salt Lake Tribune, Newsweek, America Magazine, The Diplomat, The Caravan, Indian Express, Scroll.in, The Wire, and many other outlets. Anyway, that's who Megan is.
Well, so yeah, so it could be either way, but and I think these are both phenomena, and we can expect a lot more from either scenario. I think
yes.
We can expect the ADL to be pulling strings and getting on the phone and trying to organize these things. A lot of people are on the ADL's hit list, and at the same time, I think there are going to be both, say, lower level Jewish operatives who are going to be kicking themselves into high gear and rallying. What do you call it? Circling the wagons and trying to defend their tribe, but also some brainwashed or lacking in scruples goyim who are going to see an opportunity to offer their services, whether they really understand what they're doing or not. I mean, one of the things is, Antonio Gramsci had this idea of like hegemonic ideas, hegemonic mindset, a hegemonic ideology, where people wind up policing themselves. And so many of the goyim, so many suburban women, for instance, have just they have gobbled up this this Jewish worldview. And they think that they are doing good things. They are doing good deeds by attacking and shining spotlights on potential racists and anti-Semites.
That's my reading of this woman. The more I Megan Clark Chaliashvili, if I'm pronouncing her last name correctly, what I read of her, she appears to be one of the goyim. She is a religious person with a left of center theological education, and with a history of writing both for mainstream American outlets as well as for outlets like the Jim Wallace's Sojourners magazine. I don't know who runs the thing now, but that would appear to be Megan's profile anyway. And believe it or not, I have the idea that I'm going to approach her directly about coming on the show with Father John Whiteford. That would be a good show, wouldn't it? You can join us too.
Sounds like fun.
Especially since she'll tell me to drop dead that it'll come down to you and Father Whiteford. Well, folks, that is Dr. Patrick Slattery with us on the Dankoff Report. And as we close down and as the music is playing, here's what I said once again for Texas Monthly. Your April hit piece on Father John Whiteford could have easily been team written by Clinton Newland, Admiral Rachel Levine, Stoltenberg, and Emmanuel Macron. And that basically is what I read of this publication. Be sure not to buy a copy, and we'll see you next week on the Dankoff Report on RBN Live, and support RBN.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.